Have you ever gone out to the car and realized you left something? I was just checking to make sure that when I left that pew a while ago, I brought everything up here. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. I'm very appreciative and thankful for the opportunity to speak here, to preach. It's not something that someone like me would have the opportunity to do in many churches. And I'm very thankful that Rusty has enough trust and faith in me that he allows me to do this. And I appreciate your prayers and ask them to be continued, even now as we go through the scriptures. Just as a kind of a title, when we watch Little House on the Prairie, and Daddy does something really terrible that makes it look like maybe he robbed a bank or something, then the very next moment, a little phrase comes across there, 3 days before. So now you know that whatever it is, the entire show is going to be all about what led up to this moment. Well, we're not going to go to 3 days before, but we're going to go to about 60 years after this wonderful child that we just sang about. So if you'll take your scriptures and open them to 1 John chapter 1. By the way, Rusty, I decided not to use that title we talked about Friday morning. This is 60 years later. The scriptures have been written partially. Not all of them have been written by now. Christ has come, crucified, buried, raised from the dead, and ascended into heaven. The apostles have preached. Christians have been brought into the church. We have churches all over Asia Minor and Greece, and they're forming. And one of those men that was instrumental in the scripture going into the church is the Apostle John. And this is why we're going to go to this. We all know the Christmas story, which I don't want to denigrate at all. It's a wonderful thing to preach on, but you know what? We are people who we follow a little different method ordinarily. We follow books, and our pastor preaches through books often. And I'm just amazed at the way this worked out. We had a guest pastor for 2 weeks, and he preached from 3 John. And then our pastor just came from, you were in 2 John, or where were you? Wednesday night. You made a reference, to it. And then now I'm following up with the guest pastor, and I'm going to maintain the book of John, except we're going to go back before. So let's look at the first four verses, if you'll turn there with me. This is probably proclaimed some of the most important verses in the entire scriptures, because it has so much texture to it, has so much presentation of our Lord in it. And let's just look at it. You read it along to yourself there as I read it. Beginning in verse 1, reading down to verse 4, the Word of God says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to you and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for this time to study your word. Help us, Lord, to see the work of your Son, the work of your Spirit, and indeed, Father, the work that you have prepared from before the foundation of the world for your people. And we thank you, Father, for this word from John this morning. We ask you, Father, that we would hear it and heed it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we look at 1 John, when you read it, you'll have a lot of discussion as to this is hard to outline. It has several different topics, it seems like, they go in and out of. And some folks said, you just can't outline this one at all. And one of the things that John has done here is he started from behind. Your outline is really the last few lines of the passage that we're in. We're first going to find the fellowship that we have with each other in the word of the apostles. That's first. And then we're going to go to the fellowship that we have in Jesus Christ and the Father. And then the last one is the fellowship that we have as he is writing these things so that our joy may be complete. So there's your outline. You didn't get one this morning, did you? If you brought your Bible, you did, didn't you? We're going to take a look at that. Now, we're not going to go very fast through some of these, but I hope that we do go through it and go through properly. That is a sermon in itself. That is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a reference to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a reference to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a reference to the Spirit who was with the Father and in the Son, which was from the beginning. And again, another sermon in itself. We could speak all day and all week, and as Brother Rusty likes to say, we could have a 10-part series here very easily, because the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is in this scripture and is presented as that which was from the beginning. Now, it's going to say particularly the Father. You see a reference particularly to the Son. The Spirit's going to be strangely missing. But, of course, you know he's not. This is 60 years later. 60 years later, the Holy Spirit has been given. The church has been born. And the Holy Spirit is active in the life of every person born in Christ. And every message delivered, every text written, he's very much here. He's very much in this text as well. Well, this is what was from the beginning. When you think about beginning, the first thing that probably comes to mind is the first thing when you open your scriptures. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering, I like that translation, over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. From the very beginning, John is speaking here. It gets deep real fast. But you know what I want you to consider as we go through this? A way of looking at this. You're going to have to just kind of go with me a minute. Some people say that this is Evan called it a post. He called it a note. Some people call it a post. One of them called it a post-it on the gospel. As I was reading this and kept just kind of spending some time with it, he's not here today. Robert Lee, this is for you, brother. I look at this as a fireside chat. It's not my idea. There was one of the men that I was reading was the one that used it first. But when FDR was president of the United States in the most dire times, regardless of what you think about Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he brought the country out of darkness and brought it to where we're still here today. Very possible we wouldn't even be here had he not done that. And one of the things he was famous for was his fireside chats on the radio. People would be gathered around the radio at stores, be gathered around there at homes and just wherever you could find a radio, they listened to his fireside chats. And he would always start out with, "My fellow Americans." And then he would go from there. Well, one of the things you notice about this, that's why I like the fireside chat idea, he doesn't say who this letter is from. He doesn't even say who it's to. He doesn't tell you how it's getting there or where the church is. And so it seems like what this is doing here, what John is doing here, he's with this thinking. Of course, it might not even be anything like what he was thinking. But when I picture it, I picture us sitting around the fire there at Robert Lee's house on Reformation weekend. And you've been there, some, most of you have, and you remember the conversations. Oh, it'd be, you know, football here, and then it'd scatter off and go to baseball, and then it'd scatter off. But then sooner or later, somebody says, "You know, I was reading my Bible, and it said." And then all of a sudden, now the discussion is there. And then all of a sudden, there's going to be a branch off of that, because there's something in that that you understood better than anyone else in the campfire area. At least I kind of feel like it sometimes. But then someone else says, "Ah, but have you thought about this?" And so before you know it, you've taken it from the idea that was first brought up, you've enlarged on it, and then someone else invariably, Sunday school teachers know this, go back, and because they want to make sure they get their comment in on that thing that was said first. Well, that's actually a way of teaching, and that's what John is doing here also, all through this, and he does it all through the book of John, he does it all through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. It's called spiral teaching. My only hope is it wasn't developed by a communist teacher. That's the only thing I ask for. But in spiral teaching, you make mention of what is your main topic. The main topic here that we're going to be seeing is from the beginning. Over and over, he goes back, and from the beginning, he brings this up. And from the beginning. And each time he brings it back up now, he takes it and he takes it around the circle and he adds something. He goes a little deeper. And then he goes around and he adds something and he goes deeper still. And then finally, he may even just bring it all back together. And that's why what we see in what I'm giving you as the outline, the last few verses here. From the beginning, you know, it's not the only place at the beginning of the Bible. Many of the writers said, well, that's where he's talking about. Well, John speaks of it in his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he goes on with some textured parts of writing that just, it's just beautiful, because he speaks of our Lord. And as he goes into that, in fact, turn to that. It's just a great way to continue in this vein as you develop. It's not just somewhere that people will talk about, well, yeah, if you believe God was there in the beginning. Okay, I understand. But John, remember, he wrote three different parts of the Bible. He wrote John, the Gospel. He wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And he also wrote the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And here he has just such a wonderful beginning on the book of John. And here's something you need to just go ahead and recognize. You probably will and have, most of you already. That little circle coming back and coming back and coming back. John, actually in the first John, is almost an outline of this book of John whenever he's speaking about the Savior. In fact, one writer had all the characteristics of the opening to John and the opening to first John, and they were one for one for about eight different points. But John, whenever he writes here, he's talking about the Word becoming flesh. In verse 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word." That's the way he started out, isn't it? "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." And I'm sorry, most preachers can't pass this up. If you ever have a Jehovah Witness show you their Bible, tell them, "I'm sorry, you didn't bring a Bible. Let's read mine." Because they take this one verse and they insert an article that says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." That very simple article A turns their Bible into something that is not. Because the whole message is revealing the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what John was so good at. I mean, whew, really, really good. But he goes on, he says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then he goes to talk about John the Baptist and the presentation of Christ coming and all that. And then we go to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. And from his fullness we all have received grace for grace. And there's much more, of course. We could just read the whole book, for that matter, if we just didn't stop. But John is wanting us to see the place of Christ in the entirety of the gospel. And it's like us. We just run out of time. Poor Sunday school teachers. Like we said, somebody just the other night said, spent a lot of time saying what we're not going to include in today's lesson. And you're getting ahead of me, or you know. We just have to be patient, especially whenever your turn comes up and you are doing that as well. But as you look at this, Christ is Lord. He is the Son of God. He is the incarnation that comes before the children of God, that is also described as the Word made flesh. And just to make a distinction, I still haven't gotten everything that I need, but find you a systematic theology somewhere. And the German guy has the stripes across the front of his... I knew I should have written his name down. But, no, that's all right. He's a good one to read too, but I have never got it clear in my head. You might have, and if you do, and it's not what I say, please let me know. When you talk about the Word made flesh, which is what this all introduces here, it's what we celebrate. Without the Word made flesh, there would have been no baby in the manger that was God come down to earth, right? The Word made flesh is God, but it's not just God. Sometimes we can't be satisfied with just the word God. It's Jesus Christ, the second part of the Trinity, that is made flesh. And it's very important that you do that, because there are many religions that have God men. They have men that become gods, but they're not Jesus Christ. The Word made flesh is Christ Jesus come to earth in God's, the Father's mission to save his children, to save the church is another way of saying that. And so as we look at that today, it is, he's God made flesh, and this is another thing that you have to straighten out, that when you consider two natures in Christ, and I am not going to explain all of this. I'm going to make a simple reference that just goes, this is it, and then I'm going to hit it and go. Christ made flesh, Jesus in flesh, covered with flesh. We would look at that as two. No matter how we get it initially, we walk out the first time we've ever heard this discussed probably as two gods. We don't worship two gods. How can that be? And so then we see that soon it comes to you. This is only in faith that you could even understand this, or even hope to accept it without understanding it. Because if we understood the mystery of God and everything that he has not revealed perfectly to us, we would never come to know Christ at all, would we? But he is God the Son in flesh. And that's what it makes so important, and we're not going to go into that. We don't have time, but that's why he is Savior of men. Because as Christ the man, he has offered himself as a sacrifice, and as Christ the Son, he has brought the perfect nature of God to man, died and rose again, and ascended back into the heaven and assumed his throne to the right hand of the Father. And all of that is just with John kind of throwing out stuff, so to speak, kind of like we do around the fireplace. Let's look at the next line there. He says, we have seen with our eyes. Oh, I'm sorry. Got to back up there. Here is where we find him speaking of fellowship with us, the apostles. And we would say fellowship with us, all the believers that come to visit our church, come be a part of our church. Our desire is for them to have fellowship through Christ Jesus with us. Now, isn't that your desire? To know Christ and to know them as him as Savior, but to know you as a believing child of God in fellowship with them. Now, the Greek word, sometimes I pronounce it right, sometimes I don't, koinonia, means fellowship. It means shared belief, shared understanding, shared direction, shared goals, shared wonder and love of God in Christ. And it's a fellowship that you can get nowhere else. And what he's saying right here is it's obvious. He's fixing to list some things that show the apostles in fellowship with each other. And then we're going to see there that these are some things then that we're going to have to be included in, not have to be, will be included in. And we'll see that in a little bit. In speaking of things around the campfire, John says, that which was from the beginning, that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And the apostles had a special time, didn't they? With things they heard. The things which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. What a wonderful thing to have been there. Don't you wish you'd have been there? If you had been there, you would have believed in Jesus Christ 20, 30 years ago, some of you my age. You might have believed in Christ the first time you heard about him, if you had just heard and seen him. Isn't that right? Isn't that what you've heard people say? When you speak to them of Christ, they say, well, if I'd been there, I'd probably believe. But I wasn't there. That's why John is giving us the testimony, eyewitness testimony of men that were there. Now, if you've watched Law and Order or Blue Bloods, you know the first response to that is, well, eyewitness testimony is mostly undependable because they're just not paying attention and all of a sudden they're in the middle of something they don't remember. Well, this is different. This is an apostle. This is a man of God inspired by the Holy Spirit who only wrote down what the Holy Spirit told him to write, who guided his hand and used his personality to write this story of our Christ. And if he says that this is what they did, then that's what they did. Have you ever heard Jesus? Have you ever seen Jesus? Have you ever looked upon him and touched him with your hands? Have you ever looked upon him with your eyes? I want to make sure that you understand that you have, if you're in Christ. This is the other thing we need to understand about, another thing, really, that you need to understand about this little small book. It's not written to Gentiles outside of Christ. It would benefit someone that doesn't know Christ, that's not a Christian, certainly, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to them. They could see how it makes sense. They could see how Oh, yeah, eyewitness reports, they all work just like this. But John is not speaking. And it would have been nice if it had been like Paul, to the church at Ephesus, or to the church at Rome, you know. No, it's not in here. And one of the reasons I think it is not in there is because Paul was being used in those particular places where he was witnessing. John is being used at the end of his life. And it's just shooting off almost like one of those terrible songs that you still remember. Fire off all of your guns at once and just blow up into space. John is hitting everybody with the Word of God. It doesn't matter if it's to them or to the church down the road. When John's Word is passed out, given out, it was the Word of God. And here, he's witnessing with all these different ways that you would have witnessed if you'd been there. Don't you wish you'd been there? Sitting by Jesus, having him serve you breakfast after you've been out and hadn't caught anything. Just going out there and seeing him, hearing him say, Lazarus, come forth. Wouldn't that make you believe? It didn't make some people believe. Do you remember how some of those folks responded when Jesus talked Lazarus into coming out of the grave? When they got through and everybody got back together and his two sisters, they're praising God and thanking him for this wonderful miracle that had been done there in their own area, his enemies all the more began to plot, how can we kill this man? And now we have to kill his sidekick, Lazarus. See, if you'd have been there, it wouldn't have made any difference. If you'd have seen him raise that little girl up off of her bed, if you'd have heard the man testifying to the Pharisees, or the Sadducees, I believe, that I don't know who it was that healed me. I don't know. Do you want to know who he is? Is that why you're asking? That really blew their mind, didn't it? No, we're not asking that. But you go miracle by miracle by miracle. And there were people that looked at it and said, behold the Son of God. And there were people that said, this is a charlatan. I've seen him before. He's Joseph's boy. He's nothing but a carpenter. What's he doing here? Who does he think he is? By the way, that's a response to your testimony too, isn't it? Whenever you're talking to folks. Who do you think you are? You think you can tell me about God? Man, I've been studying about God all my life. I've read everything that the Tibetan has put out. I've read every one of the Jesus Calling books. I have gone out there and I've read the Course on Miracles, participated in them. Who do you think you are? You can't tell me anything. But the Jews, God bless them, constantly are responding to Christians like you and me. What are you to say to me? I'm a Jew. I'm God's people. I've been here. You're from America. He's listed all these things that are up close and personal so that you should be able to just convince somebody. But this is where the Holy Spirit is coming in again. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God is 100% guaranteed to bring life because the Holy Spirit brings life first. Well, don't you love that statement? Regeneration precedes repentance. Just that is almost like saying, Lazarus, come forth. I mean, people will walk away from you. We got to stop that man and can't let him say that kind of stuff. But when we see this, we see that none of these things would have been brought forth in the name of Christ had he not had them at the very beginning of his ministry, called them out, given them the life of God. And then their witness then was a witness that was Spirit-filled. So it doesn't have to be a listing of the Holy Spirit to know that if the Son is there, the Father is there, and if the Father is there, it's the Spirit at work. You know, one of the things, the greatest things, I guess, that A.W. Pinkett had ever described for me in the Trinitarian understanding is that in the beginning, God had no urgent urge to create. He had no deep-seated need to find somebody that was going to worship him, because God loved the Father as the Son. God loved the Spirit as the Father. God the Father, go back around the triangle there as you see it written down. God was perfectly satisfied within himself and the love that he had, the Father for the Son, Son for the Spirit, and then same thing in reverse. That's how powerful the work is of the Holy Spirit. Brother Rusty will tell you, when he was teaching about the book of Acts, it made me nervous, because many places that I'd seen Acts taught, they became charismatic. And I told him, watch out, brother. But the book of Acts is full of the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing Christ into reality. That's what it's all about. When Christ is presented as reality, that's the Holy Spirit that's present in doing that. That's what John's speaking of. Each one of these men, no doubt he had different scenes in mind, as I've brought up here, when he said all these things. And so the first would be, as we say there at the bottom, this is all so that you too may have fellowship with us. You may have fellowship with the apostles right where you are without being an apostle. How is it possible? Steve Lawson, if you're familiar with him, has a lot of fun with words back and forth. And one of the things that I love it when he speaks, and so many other preachers have picked this up now, he said, the Bible is the Word of God. And so many people believe that. But do you really believe that it's the Word of God? Is it Jesus speaking? Well, yeah. Then you believe it. Yeah. So when he says, go out and spread the word, do you believe him? Oh, yeah. Well, how are you going to do that? I don't know. I had a quote here, if I can just get it real quick. It's on the very front. It says, in preaching that is faithful to the text of the Bible, the risen Christ speaks to his people by the power of the Holy Spirit. The man's name was David Strain. The Holy Spirit, through all of those things, was working. And in each case was confirming everything that Christ said and everything that Christ did. Let's move on. So we have then, how are we getting in fellowship with them? Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. Sometimes I get excited and forget what I even said that for. Lawson, Steve Lawson. He says, you want to know what God wants you to know. You read your Bible. Simple. And there are some who say, well, the Bible's not enough. That's why they buy all these other extra devotional books that pretend to be God speaking to you, calling out to you. They say, in fact, their testimony is, it just wasn't enough to read the Bible. I need something more. So they get things that people have just written out of their own imagination, and they say, oh, this is God speaking to me. The Bible is God speaking to you. And if it's not enough, then read it some more. If it's not enough, do like David and spend time in meditation over it. If it's not enough, go find a godly man or woman who may be the one that's living in your house as your spouse that you thought you were so much better than. Go read it with them and say, what does this mean? I don't know what this means. I don't understand this. Or a good godly man that's a neighbor. Lord, help us. Get you a deacon. Or someone else that you know is in love with the Lord Christ, spends time in his word. And then Lawson finishes that statement off. If you want to hear from God, read the Bible. Want to hear something else from God? Read it again. If you want to hear God speak audibly, because then you'll understand and you'll know it's really from God, right? Steve says, read the Bible out loud. Most of you here have heard that. You've heard it in others. You've heard it in other preachers, teachers. Do you understand that it is the Word of God? You have a testimony, just as this was testimony that John's given. You share Scripture? You've shared the same thing that John is sharing about the apostles. You've shared the Word? You've shared the same Word that the apostles had. Now, yeah, there's a lot of other discussion that I don't want to go too deep on that, but that is your testimony. It's the same apostles' testimony there. If it goes beyond what's in the Scripture, it's not a testimony of Christ. Keep reading. This is concerning the Word of God. He said, he went ahead and qualified that. All these things that the apostles did, they were concerning the Word of God. And then he goes on and he says, now, that life that they've been speaking of was manifest, is made manifest, and we have seen it, and we testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life. So what is the result of bringing the Word of God to someone else, of bringing the Word more closely to your own heart, and Christ is made manifest in your life? In the time that this was referring to here, made manifest means this, we saw it clearly. There was Jesus. He just, like Thomas and the other apostles, they were just all met together, and it was a locked room and everything. Thomas had denied Christ. He said, unless I touch him and all this, I want to see him. I want to feel him. I want him here. And guess what Jesus did? He manifested himself in the room. And Thomas touched him in the side. Thomas listened to him. Thomas saw the nail prints in his head. And he says, my Lord and my God. But what did Jesus say back to that? Did he say, good, I'm glad you finally came up? No, he said, blessed are those who have not seen what you have seen and still believe. Christ blesses you when you read the Scriptures because you're seeking to be one who knows, understands, and wants to share the manifest Christ. So you're not just saying, oh, I want to say something to her maybe. Or maybe I should say something to that guy about God, about Jesus. So what they found was the life was made manifest, and look what he does. He's taking that circle right on back around, and John is saying, manifest, apparent, in front of us. It was real. He was real. We have seen it. We've seen the Lord and testified to it. We proclaim to you, and the testimony you give is not just your heart. It's not just your thought. It's not just what you wish you could know about the Bible. If it's straight from Scripture and the Holy Spirit is filling it and you at the same time, then you are filling your testimony with the eternal life, with the message that brings life. Because remember, the Word brings its own life. Scripture is enlivened by the Holy Spirit. So when someone hears it and the preparation of the Holy Spirit has already happened, they're receiving this as someone that has just renewed in their heart and soul. Christ has renewed them and they are whole again. They are in the life of Christ. They're the 2C. They're new creations. So they're not just listening to you prattle on. Although sometimes we do. But in the Scriptures, when we're doing that with Scripture, we need to listen better. We need to listen closer. And going on into 3 now, this says, that which we have seen and heard. Here he goes. He's already talking about seen and heard, hadn't he? Is he repeating himself? Remember, he's 80 years old. Is he just an old dude? Forgot we talked about that. No. He's saying, okay, I gave you all these instances. Okay, now I showed you that this is in Christ. Now, you need to also know to have fellowship with Christ in the Father. That's which we've seen and heard. We proclaim also to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. If you are in fellowship with Christ, you don't separate the Spirit out. You don't separate the Father out. The Father doesn't answer the phone when Jesus Christ calls and says, oh, excuse me just a minute, I got to put on my Son of God suit. There are folks out there that are convinced that Christ is here among us. But if he's going to do something as the Father, he has to change his clothes, put on a new God robe, and now he's the Father. Or he has to turn around, if he's going to be spiritual about it, he'll take off his God robe, the Father robe, he takes off his Son robe, he puts on the Holy Spirit robe, and it's got jingles and jangles and flashing lights and sparkles, and now he's here. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one in three, three in one, is what John is telling us here. Fellowship, the Scriptures bring fellowship with us. And that's wonderful. Never feel left out of a group of Christian brothers and sisters. If you feel out, more than likely, it's because there's something out of order in your own life. Because your brothers in Christ want the best for you. They want fellowship with you. They want to hold you spiritually with them. And then when you walk into the room, if this is not something that you see, feel, hear, and know, examine yourself. Because when godly men and women get together, there is joy. And that's what the Scriptures tell us in the third part of our outline. Fixing the clothes. Okay. Back to three again. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. Oh, and it's a proclamation. It's not a just, you know what I think? You know what I was wondering? Have you ever heard this? This is something kind of new to me. It's a proclamation. You proclaim Christ. Now do it. Don't go out there, you know, and do something outlandish that's going to dishonor Christ and your whole message. But the proclamation, y'all, is to be in surety, certainty of what you're saying. Now, you can get out there if God gives you a place to proclaim, as we think proclaim is. By all means, do it. You may be given place to proclaim the Scriptures in a youth group. You may be able to do it on a ball team. You may be able to do it raising money for some cause while you're selling ice cream. A proclamation is, we're not being wishy-washy. We're not going back and forth. I'm speaking to you of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was sent into this world by the Father to save the souls of those that are His. Continuing on, he said, we proclaim also to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. We said that. So that we may indeed have our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We don't have time to go through all of my cross-references, Ken. But I can tell you this. There are over 40 references in the New Testament to Christ and the Father in fellowship with each other and with brothers and sisters in Christ. If you've seen me, you've seen my Father. If you obey me, you obey my Father. If you don't obey the Father, you're not obeying me. The Father and the Son provide a particular fellowship, I think, for those especially that have had so much trouble with their fathers growing up. There's the people that don't, they say, I didn't come to Christ because my daddy was mean to me. He did all these, gosh, unlawful, ungodly things to me. I could never worship a father. No, that's when the Holy Spirit shows them a father and what their father should have been and who the Father of Jesus Christ is. Never hesitate to bring the word of the Father, because it is the word of the Father who issued to the Son, go and save my children. So the apostle here is making sure that we understand that there is fellowship brought together with the apostles and their word. And the fellowship is brought together with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. And then this last line, look at that with me. First time I read this 3 or 4 times, I think I ignored that line altogether because I was through with Jesus. It's just, I don't know. Look at the line. It says, and we are writing these things. Now, the we, I think he's talking about the Lord Almighty, the Spirit of God, God the Father, the apostles that I've worked and preached and taught with, the fellow believers here where I am teaching and preaching, where God has assembled us. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. There's a lot of happy people in this world. Drugs make us happy. Concerts make us happy. Girlfriends, boyfriends make us happy based on our circumstances. I got all the money I need for the first time in my life. Man, I am happy. Whatever the happiness is based on, John is saying here, this happiness as evidenced in this entire passage is evidenced by salvation in Jesus Christ, in union with the Father by the Spirit, and in fellowship with men and women that are in the same position you are, brothers and sisters, in Christ. Now, the best part about all of this that we've just gone over today, it's just the beginning. When you read that, you can read that passage right there, just those 4 verses. Weeks, because I have. Months. There's folks that can spend all that time just on that. So I would urge us now just to examine our own witness. Are you hesitant sometimes to bring Christ into your conversation? The Holy Spirit is there. He's teaching you. You know He's teaching you. He's brought you to a godly man, godly elders there that are leading our church. Got godly brothers and sisters that are here. Don't hesitate to bring up the word. Don't make a nuisance out of yourself unless God tells you to. Yeah. Sometimes a nuisance is what was needed. But as a general rule, no, you don't have to be that. But be a witness for Christ in the same way that the apostles were witnesses for Christ. Stay in the Scriptures, meditating on the Scriptures, and be the witness of the things of the Scriptures that you are living out. It's not just what I live right and that way it'll be okay. Particularly, share it, proclaim it, that this is Christ in me, not bragging, not boasting, but showing them that this is what Christ expects, who He was, and they need to investigate it. And if the Holy Spirit begins teaching them, leading them, calling them, wouldn't it be interesting if you were the one that the Spirit used to start that word, that little seed? That's why we have the seed, you know. Seeds from little seeds come great trees. A little bit of knowledge goes a long way. Well, let's pray. I hope it's been helpful. I pray that God uses it for us and with us, and that our fellowship indeed is continued. There's one thing that John left out, fellowshipping around the table. Let's stand, please. Brother Rusty, how you want to close?